Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, David C.
What's going
on,
Dave?
Thank you.
Welcome to another episode of What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I am Jay Flan, and today I have not only Rich Nerd, but a very special guest, the man, the myth, the legend, Heisenberg himself, Mr. David Calera. Are you okay with me saying your government name?
Okay. Only like two listeners today, right?
So, yeah, we got like four people listening.
Okay,
hope is more than two.
So we're here at the Four Tap in Austin, Texas, right?
Yes, yeah, it's our first episode on location, so we're pretty excited.
Losing you a bit, Dave.
We've never been live before. We've never been on location, so it's a bit of a challenge, but we're gonna make this work. We're excited.
Work.
Had to come out for David C's birthday over here. Happy birthday, David!
Thanks, sir. Yeah, this is actual real background noise. We didn't have to go in and get a Foley on that.
Yeah, no aftermarket special effects. We're here. People are talking. We're annoyed. We're making it work. Let's go.
We're going to get through it. So, yeah, so not only is this our first on-location recording, but, yeah, this is Mr. David's birthday. So it's a special occasion.
Definitely. Yeah.
We got a celebrity.
Yeah, it's always good to celebrate life, but celebrating celebrity life, to your point.
Right. Yeah, I call him Heisenberg because he looks exactly like the Breaking Bad dude.
Dead ringer. We're going to post this picture. Dead ringer for Heisenberg.
And I looked like Heisenberg long before the show even came out. In fact, it was the third season.
Matter of fact, he stole your face.
He did steal my face. It was the third season before somebody said, "You're Mr. White." And I said, no, Calera. No, you're Mr. White from the show. And it was Halloween, and I was like, I don't know, people keep calling me Mr. Y, they can hear this all day. So, yeah.
So cool. So, yeah, we're happy to have you here, man. Happy birthday.
I appreciate it, gentlemen.
Thanks for coming out and spending your birthday with the White Pants Society. So let's get into this episode. This is, I don't know, episode six.
Lucky number six. Got it.
Yep, let's get started. I think we're going to go... Well, I guess I should talk about my week, like where I am in life right now. Still moving, and it's almost Halloween here in Austin, and this is something that's bothering me because Austin is weird. It's Austin stays weird is what our slogan or something like that. And I had an incident the other day. I was in the grocery store, and I looked up and I saw something coming toward me. I don't know what this was. It was huge and it was coming right towards me. I turned and I figured if I didn't look at it.
That's what she said.
It got me. I figured if I didn't look at it, you know, it would leave me alone. The next thing I knew, it was right behind me and it was breathing. And as I tell you the story right now, I'm a little shook up because I was scared. I don't know. I feel like it was a monster behind me. And I feel like in Austin, you can never tell. Like, I don't know. It's Halloween now, and you don't know what's a costume and what's not. Like, you don't know if this is just the way somebody dresses every day, or if they're putting on a costume for Halloween. Like, it's just a little too weird. It's freaking out.
So it was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
That is the accurate description. Yes, I appreciate that.
I mean, I feel like Austin, this is one of those places that genuinely embraces Halloween. Like, down my block, every single house, every single home has decoration on. Where we are tonight at Fourth Tap, by the way, Fourth Tap off of Metric. Shout out to Fourth Tap, Co-op Bar and Brewery. Thank you guys for letting us record here. Much appreciated. You know, they're having a costume contest tonight. So there are people in here tonight dressed up. So, you know, this is like a Texas thing.
No, I appreciate that, Rich. I appreciate you trying to participate in my joke that failed horribly. But let's move on to something else. Pretend like that didn't happen and just start all over again. Welcome to What Is TWS. Anyway, man, that was embarrassing. Man, that sucked. That sucked. Like, orangutan ball. That was horrible. I tried and I failed, and you guys are still looking at me like you're trying to dig out and it's not working.
can edit all this out later, right? Yeah.
We're not going to. Yeah. All right, my real rant was, the thing that's really bothering me this week is that I'm a new father, as I mentioned every episode. Thank you, sir. And I'm a father to a baby girl. And that has officially ruined porn for me. Every time I see porn or I see a stripper, I just see a father that failed miserably.
You know what? I have a few comments for this. I'm going to let you finish, though. But moment of silence for porn.
Moment of silence.
Go.
Yeah. That's all I see. I see my daughter and what would happen to her if I somehow... Like, that's... What did they say? That's your only job, is to keep her off the pole. Like, just to keep her off the pole. And I look at these girls now and I think, what did their dads do wrong? How do their fathers feel? Do they know? Are they watching this? Do their friends come to work and be like, you know, I saw you big girl in the... It's the stuff. Like, I think there's one video out there with Lawrence Fishburne's daughter. Have you seen that?
Oh.
Am I the only one?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I feel like I heard something. Like, I was listening to something and everybody was like, hold on. Is that Larry's daughter?
Lawrence Fishburne's daughter. Is still there.
And I can feel with you on that, you know, as raising a daughter and all that. So every time, especially when I saw that, I was like, yeah, just crush your heart right there. And they're not even talking anymore, my understanding is.
The Lawrence Fishburne and
they're completely separate now. They've gone to separate. Now that, what's I can't imagine something solid about, you know?
I didn't dig any deeper into it. I just, I mean, there was a video out there. I watched it. I'll admit I watched it a few times.
So
it's gotta suck.
I was listening to the radio earlier, and I seen a bunch of comments online. A bunch of people talking about this. Trick Daddy by no means is a resource for how a woman should act. By the way,
Trick Daddy, mistake number one.
Trick Daddy posted something on Twitter, a little video blur, really quick, and he basically said, "This is Trick Daddy. This is not my words. You black hoes need to tighten up. You need to step your game up. These white hoes and these Spanish hoes are looking good. You know, they're getting their nails done. They're getting their game right. They're getting their shit tight, basically. You know, once they learn how to fry a chicken, you black hoes basically not going to have no space. Y'all got to step y'all shit up." So I was seeing that all over the place, and I saw people commenting and people downgrading women, saying, oh, you know, they're aspiring to be hoes and saying that, oh, you know, they need to be more classy and downing them and stuff like that. That's part of it. You have to realize, yes, some men are going to be upset if their daughters turn out to be aforementioned hoes or porn stars or strippers. But you also have to understand that some people will wholeheartedly want to do that. Like, that's their decision and they're proud of it. There are educated women that decide they want to sell their body for their reasons. They want to be porn stars for their reasons. That's how they feel comfortable, and they make lucrative livings out of it. Their father or mother didn't fail them. They know very well what is right and what is wrong, and that decision is right for them. So it's like, as a society, where do you draw the line? You know what I mean? Because you don't want to necessarily point the finger, and you as a father, you wouldn't want to blame yourself, especially if you're instilling those values into your child. So where do you draw the line at? You know what I mean? If it's her decision, she knows right from wrong. You gave her everything you could. And we know Elisa's not going to do this because, she's not.
She's not going to do it and then leave.
At the same time, if someone decides to, and that's wholeheartedly what they want to do, I mean, that's their decision. That doesn't make them less of a person.
This is why we make a good team, Rich. And it's because I feel you when you try to come from that, politically correct and like not offensive place, and it's a necessary thing. But do I think those fathers failed those little girls? Hell yes, I do. But I blame myself every second of my life. Yes, I would. Is it hypocritical? Because did it only change the moment I had a daughter? You're absolutely right. That is the moment it started looking a different way.
That's human nature. It doesn't matter until it affects you. People don't change until they're on the cusp. period. Until you're forced and face to face with that anomaly, with that issue, there's no reason to change. You don't have to. So I can see it both ways. Like I said, I'm going to be devil's advocate on this one because I can argue the other side all day. At the same time, would I want my daughter to have that career? No. No father would. No father in that. His right mind wants to be watching Booty Bumpers number 37 and be like, wait. Oh, shit, mother. That's it. You can't have sex with... If you're messing with your wife, you're fucking your girlfriend, sister, slut, cousin, brother, whatever, and you're
your
watching...
Sister? Did you
listen,
say fucking sister?
We're in Texas.
Okay.
Like, did I just say, I'm not going to judge... If you're in Alabama, I'm not going to judge you.
I'll give you...
I'm not going to judge you. No, people can do what they want.
You do realize there's a whole group of people Googling Booty Bumpers 37.
Listen,
right now.
They looking at me. I'm yelling right now. I don't care.
I didn't get 36. I don't got 36.
We have a good 10 minutes before the pitchforks fly. So, I'm good.
Hey, we got Heisenberg with us. We got legitimacy.
What was it? Katie Morgan. Now, she's a porn star. I remember reading about it a while back. She's got like an IQ of like 157 or something like that. So Genius is 150. And so she's above Genius level. She obviously understands what she's doing. Not that that
it's her choice.
It is absolutely
it's what she enjoys as a
However,
person.
If I were David Morgan, Katie's dad, I would not be wanting that for my daughter. But I mean, there's been other dads out there that have not only done it, they've done stuff.
Filmed it.
So they filmed it. They've directed it, and I mean, you're like, oh my god, do you guys have any sense of how wrong that is?
I cannot advocate that one. There is no way I'm filming my little girl skivvies, butt naked, doing, don't kiss your husband in front of me. I don't want to see it.
Now, having said that, you guys have both seen it. My little brother did a movie.
Yes.
That was R-rated, so he wasn't actually having sex. However, was just wearing a sock. And I know that because I came on set that day with my girlfriend and her son, and there's my brother just wearing a dang sock. And the worst part wasn't that. It was sitting in the movie theater watching it with my dad on one side, my little brother the other, and I'm just like looking at the popcorn going, oh, look, there's another colonel I hadn't seen before. This is completely...
Shout out to David C., who had to watch his brother perform in a sock and live to tell the tale.
Mark Valera, that's my brother, Mark Valera.
What's the name of the movie he was in? Give him a shout out real quick.
It's coming up. It's
a Halloween thing.
Mischief Night, which is
Because I'm so
it's named after the 30th of October.
Yeah, so you actually gave us a preview of it.
Last year.
You watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's got an amazing twist ending, like it. I thought it was full of plot holes and then all of a sudden at the end it all
came together. People to watch it, not people not to watch it, but it does have a really big twist. You're right, because the plot holes, you're like, this doesn't sound right, and then when you see the end you're going, that's one of those movies.
So if you get the chance, shout out to Michael Clara.
Mischief Night.
Check him out on
Mark Valera.
Check him out on Mischief Night. We saw it on Amazon.
So you're going to see it. There's several Mischief Nights. When it came out, they were shopping around. Some other people liked the idea, liked the name, and they came out with their own Mischief Nights, even though they hadn't seen it.
Shout out to the copycats.
So it's Mischief Night, the one that was released in 2013. So once again, Mischief Night 2013. That's by Travis Baker. And Mark Valera, my brother, he plays the man. It's somewhere floating around on the internet. You can see even he's got his own action figure.
That's pretty freaking dope.
Action figure.
I would like an action figure.
I've got my own action figure. It looks just like me. It says Heisenberg.
Oh man, you know what's weird? You know what's really? You know what? And I'm just noticing it like at this moment. Like David has really like whitened up the show. Like I feel like I'm talking different. I feel like I'm doing everything different because he's here.
I'm gonna do it again. You're right.
Did you want to do a little tagging thing? Is that what you feel more comfortable doing? We do it like that, and we can talk about maybe some food or whatnot. I don't know. Boy, did you see her coming in? And you can do that for the rest of the night. That makes you happier.
No. We can't do that for the rest of the night.
Right.
I want to go home. asleep happily. So you can turn your head. I'm going to look at Jared. Babe, I didn't look.
You look just right at Jared, and I don't know what that twinkle was in your eye, but you better.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, I have definitely, and we talked about, in an episode that we didn't air, we talked about code switching and everything, but I feel definitely.
And code switching is something that, it's innate, you know, you don't notice when it's happening, you can't readily distinguish it. It just happens. So, gonna try to mellow out. Just try to be ourselves like we always are, and just continue the show.
I gotta chill out. I gotta bring it down.
So
I gotta pull out my inner flame.
But yeah, I agree with what you said. Like I said, I can play devil's advocate all day, but at the end of the day, if I had a daughter, I would probably feel the same way that you do.
I mean, do you understand the bloodbath that would occur if I walked in on a set somehow? Yeah, no. I don't even want to describe it anymore.
Did I ever tell you about the first time a little girl brought home a little boy?
No, you haven't, David.
Oh, you're going to love this story.
I need you to scooch over a little bit and get you more in front of the mic.
Okay, so my little girl was, I don't know, 5. And I come home from work, and there's this little boy there. And I'm like, there's this little boy hanging out with my little girl. So he was also 5. Now, once again, 5-year-olds, they're just little kids being friendly. So I sit down, he says, "How you doing, David?" And I went, no, my name is Mr. Calera to you. "Oh, okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Calera. So how are you doing?" "I'm doing just fine. So what's the story with you and my little girl?" "What do you mean?" "Well, do you have a job?" "No, I don't have a job." "Like, well, how you provide for?" "I'm, what do you mean?" "Well, you can take care of my little girl, right?" "Yeah. Wait, I don't know." Anyways, apparently Daniel got a little excited and a little upset, and he didn't pee his pants, but he did start crying. So after about the 3rd or 4th little male playmate that she brought home, I was no longer allowed to meet any of her little male friends that come to the house, because they all just seem to cry around me. I never touched a single boy. I never touched a single, you know.
You know that's what it sounds like. The boys come to your house and they go home crying.
I just want to reiterate, no little boys were harmed during the taping of this show.
So I made sure that everybody treated her with respect from the first boy that you brought home, because that's my job. You know, that was that whole, was it? Chris Rock made the joke about keeping him off the pole. Yeah. And it's true, but that's your job. You stand right up from the get-go, you make the rules, you stand by them, and then there's no miscommunication at no point. And she could always come to me. She has problems or questions or whatever. And she's a grown woman. She's married and doing her own thing now. But from the get-go, she just knew. You can always come to me. So that's my advice, suggestion to you. I don't like to give suggestions or advice to new fathers, because you have to figure it out yourself.
Shout out to Ric Flair, who just walked in for the costume contest.
That was
Ric Flair, ladies and gentlemen. We got to take pictures before we leave. We're going to post them up. Ric Flair is in the building. Say cheese, everybody. Cheese.
Cheese.
I love how we're pausing the podcast to take selfies. I love this. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You can edit this part out, though, right?
It's my podcast. We're gone completely off the rails at this point. We're nowhere on the format list. So let's just keep going.
What was your original rant? I just had to say that out to get you.
Fatherhood ruined porn.
Fatherhood and porn. Well, that's the thing. You've got to stand up and say, no, this is not going to happen from the get-go. This can't ever be a thing. There was a show I saw the other day where the kid got adopted and it turned out that she was doing porn in the bedroom. Well, watch your kids. I mean, it's hard. It is hard, but it's always been hard. You know, or teach them not to do things. When I was a kid, we left the house from I remember being kicked out of the house in the morning. You come home for lunch, and you left again, and you had to be home by streetlights later on. But you couldn't come back in the house. If it's cold, you put on another jacket.
I mean, and I'll tell you something else that I've noticed myself, you know, doing all of a sudden. I'm acutely aware of phallic-shaped items. Now that my daughter is, everything goes in her mouth, I find myself, you know, having to hide things and keep stuff away.
Did you
from her.
See that YouTube video?
Yes.
Where the dad,
corn dogs,
yeah, no corn dogs, no bananas, no popsicles, no pickles, no hot dogs, no lollipops,
no penis-shaped food.
If it wasn't chopped up, she couldn't eat nothing.
And I'm with him on it.
Are they using a knife and fork and you're not eating?
I'm with him on it. I don't, like, it's really weighing on me. Like, I know that, you know, at some point a dad meets, like, the boyfriend or the husband, and he knows what his daughter does. And he has to look that person in the eye and, like, know, like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it.
Shout out to my fiance and her dad. Her dad, who's like 6'3", like 270, so just a really big dude. Shout out to this big motherfucker.
Oh, man,
not
man.
Killing me. I take good care of his daughter. Sir, I promise I'm going to keep it up.
My main
just
man.
Don't hit me. Just don't hit me.
Larry Garner is a good guy. Good guy. That's my dude. But yeah, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he comes over to your house, shakes your hand, looks you in the face, drinks out of your glasses, and knowing the nasty shit that probably goes on.
I'm a good dude. His daughter loved me like cook food. Come on, I'm good.
And that's the trick. You got to cook and be a good guy. I married the daughter of a Marine. Not just a Marine, an MP. So he was a police officer, Marine police officer. So yeah. Yeah,
yeah, no, I mean, that wasn't gonna, yeah, no.
Yeah, that was.
You
yeah.
were screwed from the jump.
Yeah, he actually told me. No, he actually told me that if I ever hurt his daughter, he would wrap me in chain link, poke holes in my lungs, and dump me in the deepest part of the Puget Sound, so they'd never find my body. That was what he told me before I walked down the aisle with his little baby girl.
So I'm gonna assume, since you're alive, she broke it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I met with him afterwards. I said, I'm really sorry it didn't work out. I apologize, and you know, she's a great girl. It didn't work for the two of us.
Shout out to David C. being alive right now.
I'm definitely coming around to understand. I can understand how someone could put that much thought into how they would kill you, how they would, you know, disturb, how they would get rid of the body. I can imagine. I have those feelings now. And what was it? It was Brandon's son that bit her in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the zombie bite. The bite of 2015.
That was like her first love bite.
See? Oh, man, I'm not ready.
But the thing is, when you tell them that, no smile on your face. Because he didn't have a smile on his face. And I knew he was deadly serious. I mean, even if he didn't have that smile on his face, I would have presumed that he was going to absolutely do that. There was no question.
I have a creepy smile, though. I think I can give kids, like, the killer clown smile, like, hey, everything's okay.
I don't want to interrupt. I just got to say this. We're at Fourth Tap Co-op Bar right now.
Yes.
Recording during an event. The event is getting underway. They're having a costume contest. I look over at the bar so I can plan out my next beer. As I keep panning my view, I notice a dude standing there. He's got on boy shorts.
Boy shorts. Stocking.
Fishnet tights. And cufflink bracelets.
You know he's going to get holes in those.
That's it.
And it's not.
There's no shoes. He has on a tie.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to get holes in those.
He's going to get a hole. He's going to get a run in his tights. So we're at the bar, and there's a guy standing here naked in a pair of tights and underoos at the bar.
Downtown. This is way out in the
middle. So, yeah. This is
Austin.
We're in the middle of
an industrial
park.
Austin, Northland, yeah.
This is Austin. Yeah.
Keeping Austin weird.
So these two gentlemen live on the outskirts. I live in the heart of Austin. It is not unusual for me to see women running topless down the street. not because they're being chased.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever seen here? I'll tell you what the weirdest thing I've ever seen in New York. You tell me if it tops it. I've seen so much weird shit. I've seen plenty of topless people running around New York City. I've seen people literally having sex. I've seen bums fighting. I think one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, walking down a block in Brooklyn Heights, I saw a transvestite with green hair walking a three-legged dog. And it's, so what made it weird is it's not that it was a transvestite, because that doesn't bother me at all. Shout out to the LGBT community. That didn't bother me. What bothered me was that it was so extra. Like, this person,
I think you though got the hat trick there. You got the green hair, the transvestite, and the three-legged dog. That's kind of the hat trick of oddities.
Yeah, like it's like, and it was predominantly male features.
That was the white
talk. I just couldn't. And this was a younger me. I was like maybe 13, 14 years old. I didn't understand what was going on at the time. I just didn't understand. And at that young age, living in Brooklyn, New York, of all places, like, back then this type of thing wasn't accepted, wasn't understood. So that's always stood out to me as the weirdest thing, because it made an imprint, it caused a memory at such a young age. You know, it's weird.
So, my weirdest thing. Okay, so a little bit about me. My father was in the military. I've lived in three countries, including the United States, Japan, Germany, and the United States. My mother's from France, so we used to travel there, see old cousins and whatnot quite often. We lived in Germany, and I've lived there two or three or four times. So I've experienced a lot in Europe. So I've seen a lot of weird stuff there. Guys like the one at the bar, except instead of wearing booty shorts that were silky, they're just wearing like leather, and that's not in a fun area of town where you'd find things like that. That's just like some.
I gotta get a picture. So this guy just walked in with a Toon Squad jersey, Toon Squad Jordan jersey. I'm definitely taking a picture with this guy before we leave this place tonight.
All right.
Sorry to cut you off.
Mark that down, things to do. So the weirdest thing I've seen in Austin, let's just keep it to Austin. It's not the green-haired people, because again, that's odd, but it's not really a hat trick on. It has to be the guy who was probably in his 70s, who had a full beard, maybe 2 or 3 inches of growth. And he had shaved only half of that beard off, though. So, and it wasn't like he'd done it like today. It was in the middle of summertime. He had a nice tan, so that it was, you know, it wasn't like. But he just walked around with half a beard on his face, and in talking to other bus people, they said, "Oh yeah, that's Joe or whatever. He just has a half a beard." Like, you know, "Oh, that's Tim. He only puts 2 sugars in his coffee instead of 3. That makes sense. So that would have to be the Austin weirdness that is kind of a thing. It's not over the top like the hat trick triple that you got there. It's just kind of strange enough for me to go, okay, that's goofy enough that I can say that's on the weird side for Austin.
You know what I find weird about Austin? The amount of barbecue places that don't sell beef ribs. That's weird.
Really?
Everybody has baby back and pork ribs. Everybody doesn't have beef ribs. You get a brisket all day.
Right, right.
Which I love the brisket. Brisket's always my favorite choice anyway. But why can't I get a good slab of beef ribs?
What?
Where's the beef, Austin? Where's the beef?
What about blacks? Does blacks have beef ribs?
I don't know. Does blacks...
Somebody from Blacks, get a hold of the podcast and let us know.
Shout out to Blacks Barbecue. I feel like going to Blacks, I can't utter anything else but brisket, because Blacks Barbecue and brisket, it's like, come on, that's heaven. But anywhere else.
Not a huge fan of Blacks. Sorry.
Really? You don't like Blacks?
I'm probably killing some advertising dollars here, but I don't know.
You know who's a good everyday barbecue place? Like, you can just go up in there, get some good barbecue, not really be upset. Have you been to Rudy's?
Rudy's,
Rudy's is really good everyday barbecue.
It is. It really is. It's much better than what's that one that's out of San Antonio? That it's a Texas, and again, you lose some advertising dollars for this one.
Is it Pokey?
No.
It's Pokey Joe's.
Pokey Joe's. No.
Have you been to Pokey Joe's?
I've been to Pokey Joe's.
I've been to Pokey. Rudy's is still. Yeah.
Yeah, Rudy's is the, like, we had somebody come in from out of town, you know, they just got off the plane, we want to get them to Texas barbecue.
I feel like Rudy's is a good introduction. I mean, not saying that it's not good barbecue, because they can hold their own,
yeah.
But Rudy's is that place where you can go to 6 out of 7 days of the week, and you're going to get a good meal, you're not going to be upset, and you would go back.
It's not far out and grab, you know.
Yeah, it's not overly priced. You would come back. You would acknowledge it. You would mention it to somebody else. Shout out to Rudy's Barbecue.
That's what I say. Man, this episode has taken a lot of different turns.
Bill Miller's.
Bill Miller's?
Not a fan of Bill Miller's.
That's the San Antonio one?
I've been to several of them. And the beans are like a little bit, they're not smoky. They're more like, I've been to the flagship one all the way downtown to San Antonio. But they're a Texas based one. I don't know, it tastes sooty instead of smoky.
Sooty?
Yeah, like they hadn't cleaned anything. It's got soot on it. It's too cold to smoke us. Anyways, but you're right. I'm sorry. We've really gone off subject. I'll rant all day if we're going to rant.
I mean, all these rants just made me remember my rant.
That's it.
And
so.
it's a little bit of a self-serving rant.
Okay.
Does not affect anybody. You know what bothered me today? On the way to Fourth Tap Co-op Bar and Brewery, in the car with Jay Money, Mr. Flan, and throwing a GPS. It's not the fact that the GPS didn't work, it's the fact that I can't use the GPS that I want. So in my car, I have Apple CarPlay. Because I have Apple CarPlay, I can't use Google Maps, I have to use Apple Maps. I'm not saying that I don't trust Apple Maps. I just don't trust Apple Maps as much as I trust Google Maps. I've been cross country, I've been driving all around the place, and Google Maps never lets me down. Tells me the traffic as we're going, alternate routes, updates itself, says, hey, you know what? Take a curve real quick right here because there's an accident up ahead. Apple Maps just doesn't do the same thing. And for the life of me, I can't understand it. Apple, if you're listening to me, open up your platform. Let me use Google Maps on my Apple CarPlay. Please, I am begging you.
But this is the fatal flaw of Apple all the time. They don't. If you go Apple, you are Apple. They're not going to work with anybody.
And they've opened up the APKs a little bit. They've opened it up a little bit. They let you get a little bit. But I need more. I need my Google Maps, people. I need my Google Maps.
Right.
This is the fatal flaw of, this is why I hate Apple.
And I don't want to go back to Android. I want to stick with Apple. Apple's doing good things. You know?
They're doing Apple things.
Has anybody played with the new Pixels?
No. I want one.
I do too. But yeah, I didn't know if maybe one of y'all got a chance. You get every single.
You know what I hate about the Pixel?
What do you have? You don't have it yet?
That is not. That Apple didn't make it.
No, you know what I hate about the Pixel? You know what grinds my gears about the Pixel?
What grinds your gears about the Pixel?
The price. The price
is
grinds
price.
My gears.
Right up
Listen,
there
let me
with
finish.
Every other high-end
it's
smartphone.
It's priced aggressively. It's priced on par with every other flagship. But you can't go from releasing great, aggressively priced flagships every day, every year, under the Nexus moniker, and then all of a sudden say, you know what? Let me double it. Let me double the price. They're gonna buy it anyway.
So the one
we gotta work up to that.
What is it? What is the? So I bought this one. I've got a Nexus 6P.
See, the Nexus 6P. Correct me if I'm wrong. Started at $499.
Right, but I didn't buy the $499.
But it started at $499. But entry level was $499.
Right.
Entry level for the Pixel is like $780. It's on par with the other flagships, the iPhone 7 Plus, the Galaxy S7 Plus, the now recalled because they failed Galaxy Note 7. But, you know what I mean? It's like, build me up to it. Open, let me, wait another year. Introduce a Pixel at a moderately higher price, and then say, bong, bong, you want to get this.
You know what drives me nuts about it is that Google went out, said this is a great idea, having a modular platform for your cell phone. They bought it. They bought the rights to it. Remember everybody got excited about
Aria.
Aria.
And they scrapped Aria.
They scrapped it and came out, here's Pixel. Now, you can't tell me the Pixel wasn't already in the pipeline the whole freaking time.
It was.
We know. It takes 2 or 3 years for a phone to get produced. It doesn't just suddenly magically appear. So they had this. They had these plans, and they just killed it. And I mean, come on, Google. Don't be Microsoft. Don't go buying stuff and killing it immediately.
Now, I will say, outside of that, the Pixel is a damn good piece of kit. Like, that's a dope piece of technology. I'm not going to go into it. You want to read more about it, you know, you can Google it. Google Pixel. But it's a dope device. And if I wasn't so ingrained in the Apple ecosystem, I'd get the Pixel. I would.
Because that's what Apple does, too. That is what Apple does, Dave.
Yeah, it's like the heroine of electronics.
I love my Apple. What can I say?
See what I'm saying? He just proved it for me. He sits around and he's got a little Apple rope, the lanyard tied around his arm, and he just buys more Apple stuff.
So, yeah, so that's what grinded my gears. It bothered me, and I remembered because I used the GPS today. I had to say something.
Let me try to pull this in.
All right.
To something, all right? So I'm going to go back to just, I'm going to completely change the topic. Nothing to do with Apple, nothing to do with daughters.
I'm going to flip it and put it on its head.
I'm going to complain about my wife, because I think when guys get together, that's what you're
supposed
to do. Wait,
what? Oh.
That's what you're supposed to do.
I don't mean it.
I mean it. So you don't mean it. One, right now while we're having this podcast, I'm on Hangouts with her trying to help her understand how to put a DVD into the PlayStation.
Hold on. Time out. Pause. Flag on the play. Wait a minute. Hold on. Out of bounds. Before we go any further, I'm not monitoring right now.
Uh-huh.
I just want to make sure I heard you okay. Don't be mad, Tammy. Renee, I know you got my back. Did you say you're trying to explain how to put a DVD in a PlayStation?
That's correct.
The PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4, that's correct.
The slot loading PlayStation 4.
That is correct.
Where you hold this disc in front of it and it pulls it in itself and loads it for you.
You are correct, sir.
Let's do a little troubleshooting.
Disc in a PlayStation 4.
That very model, sir.
So let me let's do a little troubleshooting real quick. Is there already a disc in the PlayStation 4?
So what I'm getting now, because this is all happening over Hangouts, is that she put the disc in backwards the first time. So now we've got to eject the background. It would spit it back out to you if it was backwards.
It should. I thought it would.
DVD players 25 years ago that spit out the dang thing.
But you know why? I don't know what it would do if you put a disc in backwards.
Because
I never fucking put a disc in backwards.
So hold on. Is it a dual-layer disc? Is it not a label on one side of the disc?
I'm not
trying to jump in this, but as an IT professional, I would say the side with the label
goes
face up.
All right, now, in her defense, I keep my PlayStation 4 on a stand, so it's vertical.
So if your PlayStation is vertical, I'm assuming it's vertical, which means the top is facing to the right.
That's correct. I don't mean to
say. The label faces the right. Either way.
Or the left, depending on how he's got it set up.
The top of the disc faces the top of the PlayStation.
There you go.
Period.
Okay,
however, I feel like there's only one way to stand it on vertical. If you stand it on the right side of the PlayStation, which would be at the bottom, doesn't that mess with it? Like, isn't it made to lay flat? Or if you stand it up, the right side has to...
I don't know. I've never put mine on the side. Because, you know,
it's weird.
I got to have all the stands.
It can only fit going that way.
Yeah.
Great. Rob Zombie just walked through the door. Yeah. Shout out to Rob Zombie.
Who's that?
Rob Zombie.
It's a hell of a costume party, guys.
Okay.
Oh, what is the car? Oh, okay.
So never I have mind. An update on the PlayStation debacle. She was unaware. So I guess it took the disc backwards and didn't spit it back out. But she was unaware that there was a button on the front to eject the disc. Now, I think we have ejected the disc. and we're going to try to reinsert the disc. And I hope I'm being clear, because if I am not enunciating, this sounds horrible to somebody right now. We've ejected the disc, and we're going to reinsert the disc, D-I-S-K.
We heard you. It did sound like you said D-I-S-K.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Otherwise, we're back to your first rant.
So these are the things that bother me about my wife. And I got to share this with you, because when she said it to me, I told her at the moment she said it, I was going to mention it on the podcast.
Okay, because I was going to say, you're talking smack about your wife.
The other day, I get in the car.
This is your last podcast.
Oh, I've said way worse, I think, already. Especially about Teacher Bay. But I do want those updated pictures, Teacher Bay. Just go full Monty. Like, if you've gone far enough, just do it. Just do it. Put it out there.
We're on the
get
train.
Get the fans what they want. But anyway, I'm meeting her after work. And I haven't eaten lunch that day. So I do what I shouldn't do. Don't judge me. I go to McDonald's. I get my nuggets. I'm a nugget man. Yes, I went to McDonald's. And so I'm sitting there eating my McDonald's. And, you know, my wife is always on some sort of diet craze. And now she's doing the mindful eating. You're supposed to eat slowly, think about it as you're eating. Give your chance a chance to enjoy your food. And she knows me. I'm normally like, you know, like it's going somewhere. Like it is going somewhere. It's going in my stomach. I want the food. Like I'm going to eat the food. And so she's trying to stop me from eating fast. And she's putting her hand in my way. And I'm a grown ass man. Like, you don't tell me how to eat. Like, I'm going to eat how I want to eat. She's like, mindful eating. Mind your business. Like, don't you eat how you want to eat. Let me eat how I want to eat. And then she said these words to me. This is exactly what she said to me. She said, "You only think I'm bothering you because you feel bothered. I'm really helping you." This is what she said to me. And I just gave her a look. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my entire life.
I have to admit, I literally scratched my head.
Okay, put down the philosophy.
I'm only bothering you because you feel bothered. But I wouldn't feel bothered if you weren't bothering me.
So, I'm only torturing you because you feel tortured. Okay, that's an equivalent statement. Okay.
But if you only feel bothered because she's bothering you, does that mean that she's bothersome?
You know what? You need to take this out of it, because in about, I don't know, 5 or 10, about 12 or 13 years, when Lisa does this, it bothers the crap out of her for no reason whatsoever. Or just in a year or two, when she turns 2, you can say, "You only bothered because."
All right, you only think you're bothered because you feel bothered. She's really just talking to you. Right?
And then you hold your arms out and go, "Come here, sweetheart. Daddy loves you." Yeah.
So I actually have the same issue, but in reverse. Okay. Renee says, "I eat too slow."
You do eat slow. You do eat slow.
I want to savor my bites.
Dude, we were...
I want to enjoy this food.
So we worked we all three worked at the same location. And they had a cafeteria. And there was pretty decent food. And then there was pretty lousy food. And it didn't matter if it was lousy food or the good food. I had one chef in there. I always knew how to cook for me. But there was... Richard would take the slowest amount of time and savor every little morsel. And like I said, I'm part French. And it was like being with these people. And I'm like, oh, my God. But it wasn't good food. You didn't want to savor this. This was terrible, terrible food. Nobody wants to eat this crap. Except Richard. He's going to make sure that every molecule gets tasted to its extent.
And you know, and at the same time, you got to realize, listen, I'm trying to use up every minute of this hour that I get. And I'm trying to conserve energy. Eating fast uses energy. It uses energy. I'm going to metabolize much faster. I'm going to run around. Let it digest slowly. Just chew slow. Let it be nice and mellow.
No, I always wanted to get
Richard,
out of that
cafeteria.
Richard,
what do you weigh, like $1.12?
On a good day. I wish something about my 185 was less than 185.
I have worn 180, weighed that little, and oh God, for a long time.
Now, I need to get back to my fighting weight.
I always wanted to get out of that cafeteria as quickly as I possibly could. That cafeteria is it's like a nerd zoo.
It really is.
You see every kind of socially awkward. It's horrible. And I feel embarrassed for them. Like I can't like separate myself. And I see them like walking around with their tray, trying to find a table where nobody else is, so they can sit by themselves and eat their lunch. Or I see them, you know, with their meticulously packed lunchbox with everything in its individual containers.
I have seen some Tetris lunchboxes.
It's horrific, and it hurts me as a person to watch it, because I've always been a nerd, and I remember it's like being in a high school cafeteria all over again. You can see the look of pure fear on their faces. Like, this is the one time a day I had to come out away from my desk, and now I'm in this place, and I don't know what to do. How do I get back to my desk? How do I get back to my safe space? You can see it.
Stereotypes. You're right. It's a total stereotype.
It's every stereotype.
But every one of them is. I mean, you look around there, and that, with one exception, the marketing people, usually regularly eat in there because they don't eat with those people. But, you know,
cool thing.
Yeah. So, and that is the cool thing. They'll usually go out somewhere to eat, and they're gone for like 4 hours, and they come back in. Oh, well, we had a client to talk to, and it's like, yeah, right.
I just saw what can only be in the corner, Sherlock Holmes. And I guess because color should not be an issue in 2016, the guy over there in the jumpsuit, let's Run DMC.
Run DMC?
Let's Run DMC. Let's Run DMC.
The lead singer for the Cure just left.
He got the hat on the table. Let's Run DMC. You see the top hat? That's Run DMC.
It is Run DMC. I can verify that indeed it is Run DMC.
That's white Run DMC. Hey, listen. Rev, you got followers.
All right, so let's get to some neglected stuff. We are at a bar. So, I say every week, Rich, what you sipping?
Shout out to Fourth Tap Co-op Bar and Brewery. Once again, back here again for another What You Sippin'. So I came here about a week ago, had a few different ales. Came back today, I tried a different one, and I'm in love. This is probably one of the best beers that I've ever tasted. Honestly, it was pretty freaking good. So today, what I'm sipping is a Highland Scoundrel. It's a Scotch-style ale, about 11% ABV. It's pretty good, nice strong taste. And so this is what it says on their beverage card that I picked up at the bar. We brought Scottish peat moss in and used, ruined, our friend Smoker peating our own malt. A subtle peach character works well in this monster of his Scotch-style ale. Kilt recommended.
All
right. So basically, it's a Scottish-style ale, very flavored. They use some smoked peat moss in it. 11% ABV. This thing, it's pretty good. If you're in the Austin area, if you're listening to this, and you want to try it out, shout out to Fourth Tap Brewing Co-op. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm confused by that one too. Yeah, we're trying to decide.
Is that China?
I met her once.
That was China.
I met China. No, it was in LAX, and I was waiting around the baggage thing, and she's actually not that much taller than me. You look on thing, and you're thinking she's real tall. So I met her, and she's like, oh, could you give me some help getting my bags off the turn? And I looked at her like, why don't you give me help? And the other five people help, but I mean, she daintily picked her bags up and stuff like that. Very sweet woman. Very sad that she's gone. Missing China.
I think we got lost and confused for a moment. We just saw China and Ric Flair walking through the bar.
Ric Flair is
This man just walked in with a Jason mask and a chainsaw.
We got Jason.
Shout out to Jason with the chainsaw. He got a stocking cap on. Shout out to stocking caps. I haven't seen a stocking cap since 96 when I first started getting waves. Shout out to Stocking Caps. You know what I'm talking about. Old school, old school.
That is old school. And let's see. So the other thing that we wanted to touch on while we have the three of us here, since I know we're all fans, The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Are we ready for this conversation?
I'm still in shock.
I should get some water.
I'm still in shock.
So, yeah.
I can't believe it happened.
We're going to have some, for those of you who haven't seen it,
go ahead.
Definite spoilers going on here.
I feel like everybody's seen it. If you haven't seen it, you heard about it. If you haven't heard about it, that means it was spoiled. Everybody knows what happened.
I literally didn't see it until last night. My DVR didn't pick it up because I didn't record, whatever the reason. So I didn't get to see it until last night. And thank you, Pirate Bay. Shout out to Pirate Bay because you don't get enough advertising.
Shout out to BitTorrent.
Shout out to David saying shout out.
True. But a shout out to David saying shout out. That is, listen.
We've whitened up for him, and then he's like, you know, this is cultural exchange. This is what we talk
this
about.
Is what this TWS is cultural, is all about.
This is what we're all about.
Indeed. But yeah, so we got spoiler, everybody knows spoiler alert, done.
I was right.
Huh?
I've been telling people for months. Now, I was right and wrong at the same time.
Well, you read the comic books.
I did read the comic books.
So, yeah.
But they've departed so much from the comic books.
Wasn't Glenn supposed to, I don't know.
So Glenn should have been Abraham, if we're going by the comic book.
Okay.
I think they like threw him in there as a twofer, like, you know, just, you know. It was almost like a fake out. Like, everybody knew it was supposed to be Glenn that dies. And then, no, we're going to kill Abraham first, so you think Glenn survives. Oh, no, we're going to kill him anyway. Like,
yeah. Man, and the eyeball popping out. Oh, my God. Yeah. Lucille is still hungry. I'm like, who's he going to kill next? Who is he gonna kill next? My little dog was just scared. He was just hiding in the corner. Didn't know what was going on. That dog's got more personality than anybody else. He'll watch horror movies, but when he saw that, oh, he did not want any part of that.
That was by far, like, to me, the most graphic episode. And like, I'll say Noah getting his face bit off. That was pretty graphic.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was worse.
I think that they got to the point where this season, I think they're going to go bananas. I feel like the way it started off, they only have two choices. The way it started off, either it's going to be crazy as balls, every episode is going to shock the shit out of us and pull us in, or it's going to be downhill because they can't sustain it.
So
there's only two choices.
There's a reason for it. Okay, so according to the timeline and according to Atrophy, from what I've been reading, and if you noticed, at that one point when Rick grabbed that one zombie and his skin just ripped right off, they're just disintegrating. They're not dying. They're already dead. They're undead. But they're disintegrating. So they're decaying. And very shortly, the original zombies from the beginning are going to be gone. So they didn't get taken by, you know, and I know all the thing that, you know, oh, the animals would take them over and all that stuff. That didn't happen. Fine. The animals aren't taking them over. That's fine. But they're actually decaying. So we don't have a lot of time left before that original batch of 7 billion zombies disappears. And then whatever's left is the, whatever. So do we have new burial rites? So once, they're already started it. Somebody dies, stab them in the head, toss them to the ground. You know, so they've already changed human evolution to deal with that kind of stuff. So what happens next? Now we got a post-apocalyptic world where if somebody dies, you don't catch them in time. Well, now you just change your whole encampment into sick.
Shout out to David C. for dropping jewels. I mean, shout out to David C. for explaining and sharing his knowledge on that subject matter.
Sorry, I get going. My rants are more intellectual.
But yeah, I will say, as much as I knew in my heart that Glenn was gonna die, it hurt. It hurt like hell. Especially to watch him like get be retarded for like 30 seconds. And you know. Yeah. So yeah. We'll probably continue this conversation at another point, but
looks like it's getting in the full swing of things.
Yeah,
it's
getting weird.
The rave and costume party is definitely starting. The lights are going out. The lights are all over the place and I hear witches howling. Witches and bitches. So thank you for sticking with us. Yeah. Any closing thoughts?
Austin's weird.
Austin is definitely weird. You know what? We should post a photo gallery of this event. So nobody's going to believe us.
It's just water.
But that's your glass.
Well, it's exactly.
Oh no, I didn't buy that one.
So
probably should buy one though.
Probably should. As long, often as you're here. Yeah. So thank you very much for having me, gentlemen.
Definitely, it's been a good experience. You're definitely a great co-host. We got to do this again sometime. We're probably gonna see if David can co-host with us again because we have some pretty interesting topics coming up, and we're gonna need a wide range of POVs for this one.
Yep. That's yeah, and I'll be moving out of town right after that, so leaving forwarding address.
All right, we'll talk about that offline. All right, well, thank you for rolling with us again, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank
Peace.
You.
Peace.